May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We apparently have a new TV series this year called God Friended Me. Full disclosure, I haven't watched it. But it reminds me of the show Touched by an Angel, which ran for 9 seasons before it ended in 2003. I never watched that one either. Now, there may be some of you that are pretty upset with me for putting down what might become your favorite show, and maybe you've already become a full-blown fan of God Friended Me. If so, I am sorry to disappoint you. But most of the things that happen in shows like that just don't happen. Or if they do, they are because of human beings who are kind and generous and really do their best to treat others the way Jesus said we should. I did watch the trailer for the show God Friended Me, and the lead character who said he didn't believe in God started getting Facebook messages asking him to friend God. In just the short time that I watched, he was sent the name of a man that he just happened to bump into, and then he chased him down into a subway station where he rescued him from jumping in front of a train. Miracle. Almost immediately afterward, he connected with a woman, also recommended by God, who learned some disturbing news about her mother, and then her life fell apart. She was run over by a car, and the doctor who came to her aid was the guy that had been saved from jumping in front of the train. Very believable, right? I wish it was that easy. Just set up a Facebook account for God and then go about making amazing things happen one friend at a time. It sounds a little time-consuming, but probably faster than spending 211 episodes having angels touch people. It amazes me that some faith-based things gain wide popular appeal when religion is losing followers, if we take the statistics seriously. There is, in the show, there is even a rather realistic scene where the atheist boy is talking with the girl who says that she is spiritual. And the boy jumps on her for having one foot in the door and one foot out. He tells her that you can't have it both ways. But that's exactly where most of the people in polls would fall. Well, I don't really believe in God, they'd say, but I think there's some power, some grand design to life. Of course, nobody ever asks them what they mean by God. When most people are asked that question, do they think of a great grandfatherly sort of man sitting up on a cloud? Did they think of the God that someone told them was going to condemn them to hellfire and damnation if they went to the middle school dance? Did they think of a God that let their mother, father, sister, brother, friend, etc. die? Or maybe they think of the God that's making them suffer through a dreadful disease. I certainly don't mean to be flippant about such things, but the idea that people would be sitting that God would be sitting someplace deciding that there are 3,287 people who need to die in automobile accidents in the U.S. today, and picking them out, the actual individuals, seems much more strange to me than the idea of God. You know, that the reality is that knowing how hard it would be for people to grasp complex, impenetrable concepts that are nothing like our own human experience. God sent Jesus, his son, to put a face on the idea of God. He didn't send an old man sitting on a mountaintop or on a cloud making life and death judgments about people. He didn't send a powerful king with all sorts of soldiers and workers doing his bidding. He didn't send him with a full complement of angels to go out and touch people who needed to be touched. And he did not send a technology nerd who would be a master of Facebook and all other electronic communications. And he most certainly did not send a PR genius. Just look at the gospel for today. Jesus was brutally honest with his followers. He told them that his work and ours is relational. That is, we have to go out and build the connections one at a time. We have to discern the needs of people, and we have to try to offer them healing. Certainly, we can try to build a group of people who will try to follow the way he showed us. That's called capacity building. But there again, we're not going to be able to use unilateral power to do it. We can't use coercion and bully to separate people and harm the many in order to build up a few. We can, of course, use relational power to try to turn the world into the kind of place that God intended. But in the most countercultural way, God came to show us his idea of how things should be. Jesus told us his ways are both relational and sacrificial. He said, we have to put ourselves last and not expect to find glory. Boy, if that isn't the stuff of a great commercial. Tell them that there aren't any easy answers. They're going to have to do the work face to face and make great sacrifices. But all we have to do is look at the model of Jesus, and we'll know we are being asked to pick up a cross and carry it. It's hard, very hard. But Jesus said it must be done this way. There's a shocking story that I read in the magazine Christian Century about a pastor named Will Campbell, the only white person at the 1957 founding of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, who scandalized many of his friends when he provided pastoral care for members of the Ku Klux Klan. When a reporter asked why he attended the trial of one parishioner, a former KKK imperial wizard who killed a grocer for selling food to African Americans, Campbell responded, "Because I'm a Christian, God damn it. I believe if you're going to love one, you've got to love them all, no matter how hard it is." But the wonderful thing is that in God's world, sacrifice brings blessing, and relationship trumps ideology. Losing your isolated, fearful self leads to a whole world of beloved friends. Amen.